This podcast is brought to you by Knowledge at Wharton. For more information, please visit knowledge.wharton.upenn.edu.
We're here with Wharton Marketing Professor Ron Berman and Pablo Hernandez, who is a professor of economics from NYU Abu Dhabi. They're here to talk about their paper, which is all about the burn rate of startups. Welcome.
Thank you, Deborah.
Well, first of all, can you set the scene for us? What is your paper all about?
So what our paper looks at is how the burn rate of startups influences the chances of a startup to go bankrupt. And burn rate, which is more of an industry term, is how much money does a startup spend every month per employee. So, for example, is if a company spends $300,000 every month and they have five employees, the burn rate would be $60,000 per employee. And it's a number typically the industry uses to compare different companies and see which ones are burning too much or too little money.
Yeah. I wanted to add to that that it's a very simple metric because you just have an amount of money divided by the number of people there. You don't go into the details of where do you spend the money.
And why is that important to a startup?
So there are two reasons why burn rates are interesting and important for a startup to look at. The first thing is that startups typically operate on investors' money, and they want to make sure they don't run out of money until the next time they can fundraise. So they want to make sure they don't burn too much money too quickly. And the other reason is that investors from their side are trying to figure out which startups are operating efficiently but also more successfully. And because the startups are very different types of businesses, the only apples-to-apples comparison is typically how much money they can make or they can spend. And the burn rate, as Pablo said, is a great metric for that.
So what are your paper's key takeaways?
So the key takeaways, there are quite a few, but I think that the most important one is that we allow or we give, to be more precise, a notion that if you spend too much or too little, the companies are more likely to fail. There is a balance burn rate. In addition, we also look at how the entrepreneurial characteristics, in particular human capital, are related to this sound decision-making, this balanced burn rate. And we find actually that one dimension of human capital, which is education, is positively related to a balanced burn rate and hence lower chances of failure.
So just to give an example, we find that more education actually reduces the chances that a startup will fail. And another interesting takeaway that we find is that something we call confidence or optimism of an entrepreneur actually helps the startup a little bit. And this is a unique part of our research.
What conclusions, if any, surprised you?
So actually, let me first start with what is not surprising in our findings. Yeah. A very well-known result is that if companies burn too much money, they're probably going to fail, and that makes sense. If you're overspending and if you're spending lavishly on things the company doesn't need, they might go bankrupt. The surprising result was that actually underspending money, spending too little, also increases the chances of failure of a company. We have a few conjectures why that happens, but this is one surprising result. A second surprising result is that a lot of past research has looked at what's called human capital, as Pablo mentioned. And typically, human capital used to be two things, experience and education. We find almost no effect for experience. Adding a lot of experience to entrepreneurs doesn't make the companies fail less, but we find quite a big effect for education. So there is a big gap between failure of, let's say, someone with a bachelor's degree versus someone with a high school diploma or someone with a master's degree versus someone with a bachelor's degree.
Actually, that effect is significant. If we look at entrepreneurs with a bachelor's degree versus an entrepreneur with a high school diploma, there is a 5% more chances that the bachelor's degree, the entrepreneur with a bachelor's degree, succeeds or doesn't fail than the other entrepreneur.
And although so 5% might seem small, this is like entrepreneurship, right? So the data is very noisy, et cetera. It is a big effect.
It is a big effect
just from the difference between entrepreneurs with a high school diploma to entrepreneurs with a bachelor's degree.
So what are some practical implications of your findings? How can people use this information to help them?
So the practical implications, again, that you can look at them from the perspective of the investors and the perspective of the entrepreneur. From the investor's perspective is that given that investors are exposed to sometimes a large range of companies, they can estimate how an individual, a given company, is spending with respect to the others, and then can assess whether the expenditures are balanced or not. For entrepreneurs, it might work in a similar way. For entrepreneurs, they can go and look at the benchmark, the industry benchmark, and see whether they are too different, too much or too little. They are spending too much or too little compared to what the industry is doing on average.
And then, given these numbers, for example, investors can say, I need to look at a portfolio of 50 companies. I cannot give attention to all of them, but I can kind of signal out the ones which are very extreme, too little or too much, and maybe look into them and see whether they have problems. And entrepreneurs, on the other hand, entrepreneurs are typically unsure of how much to spend. I don't know if I should spend more or less. I don't know what the competition is doing, etc. If you take those numbers, this metric is very simple to look at, and you can say, how close am I to what the market is doing? And if I'm different, it doesn't mean it's bad, but I need to have a good explanation for why it's bad. I need to have a good reasoning. So this is the practical implication.
So what sets your research apart from other work in this area?
So there are a few aspects which make our research unique. The first one is the data source that we're using. This is confidential data that we received from the Kaufman Foundation, which collected for 7 years between 2004 and 2011, a long survey about a representative sample of companies that was founded in the U.S. It's over 3,000 companies. And they asked them to give information about employees and about other things. And we're one of the only researchers that have used this data in this approach.
Yeah. Another important departure from previous literature is that even though the burn rate is a term that is used widely in the industry, there is surprisingly little research, at least to our knowledge, on that important metric. And we go to the exact core of that.
And the final thing is that a research looks at the dynamics of the company. A lot of research just says, this is the company that started, and we see how many failed. For us, we're trying to see what is the chances of failure next year, and another year, and another year, which allows us to filter out a lot of causes. For example, in our data, we have 2008, the economic crisis. Of course, more companies were failed during the economic crisis, but we're able to filter that out and say, what is the effect of the burn rate above that? And this gives us, in statistical language, it gives us more power, mm-hmm. but we can say better what is going on with those companies.
So how will you follow up this research?
We have two major points. The first one is try to see whether our results are robust. So we are currently trying to find the same effects or looking for the same effects on a data set that's provided by the government, and that is research in progress. And the other thing is what we were talking about or we mentioned earlier, the mechanism. So what's driving this balance or unbalanced burn rate? And I think, well, if you can.
Yeah,
you want,
so and we have a theory. So again, as I said, the interesting or the surprising result is that spending too little is bad and spending too much is too bad. Like both sides are too bad and you want to stay kind of in this optimal center there. And the question is, why do you get those extremes? And our current conjecture is that a lot of it comes from the fact entrepreneurs are unable to predict demand in the future and competition in the future. As a result, they need to plan today for what will happen. And sometimes they overplan, like they overbuild capacity, which just costs them a lot of money. So this is spending too much. And sometimes they underplan. And when they build too little and there's a lot of demand in the market, they're unable to supply and make the money they could have And as a result, other companies are raising the funding, and for this entrepreneur, he has other opportunities, and they just decide to close the business. So this is our current kind of working theory, and our next steps are basically to validate that, both using the data and using a theory model that will try to explain that.
Actually, Ron mentioned a very important point that is fundamental, which is the opportunity cost, that we think has a lot to do with this surprising result that spending too little may lead to failure. Because the entrepreneur might say, okay, I'm making money, I'm not losing money, but I'm spending so much time, I have probably a lot of education, a lot of connections, I may use that in another business. And that is something that we conjecture is at the core of our result.
Great. Well, that's it for now. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us.
For more business news and analysis from Knowledge at Wharton, please visit knowledge.wharton.upenn.edu.